Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
Welcome back. We made it back. We made it back for another week.
Yes, indeed. We didn't get cut off.
Listen, I want to get cut off. We would be cutting ourselves off. I think we need to be honest with our listeners and let them know the truth, Alan Boomer. Are you ready to do that?
Fine.
We be struggling sometimes. Sometimes we have a hard time getting to the podcast.
No, that's not true.
No,
I look
not
forward
true.
To the podcast every week.
I look forward to the podcast also, but you know, we're both
every
super
weekend,
busy.
Twice on Sunday.
Super busy. And sometimes it's difficult. I say that not to burden our podcast listeners, but to let you know like how much we really do love you guys, how much we do really love doing the podcast, because by hook or crook, and I don't know who came up with that saying, but by hook or crook,
we're going to come through.
We're going to come through with something. Yeah.
But you know why I keep pushing? You know why I keep pushing, Tiffany?
Why you keep striving to the top?
You want to know why?
That.
Like every now and then we meet a person who like really has been moved by the podcast.
That's like, more than every one, now and then.
Yeah, we met one this week. It's the wind beneath my wings. She was just saying like she just discovered it within the last year. She's been telling all her friends about it. And she's been endeavoring to listen to every episode from the beginning. Like the day I spoke to her, she had listened to two episodes that day. And I'm like, man, she's like, every time I listen, I learn something new. I'm like, every time? Like,
not endeavoring. She's been like, endeavoring.
Every time.
Who is this woman who's so captivated?
Oh, you were on the call, but I guess you were probably doing other stuff. Nails done at the time.
Oh, my God. First of all, for all of our listeners, my nails have not been done. If you saw me right now, you would definitely think I was crawling my way to freedom because it's a crime over here. But I'm going to get it taken care of. Well, we do it for all of our listeners, to be honest with you, the ones that we encounter and the ones that we don't. We know that a lot of people really do like our information, and some people just enjoy hearing us goof around a little bit. So we love you guys, and we know how much you love us. You do always tell us, whether it's through social media, emails, in person. We were in a meeting recently in Minnesota, and one of the people in the meeting was just like our biggest fan. And literally, she ran up to me and said, you know, I'm your biggest fan. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but... It goes a long way. It really does matter. So we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, but speaking of sometimes we goof around, we got a fun topic today.
Oh, I'm excited about today's topic.
Okay.
For sure. I'm gonna let you roll it out, Alan. You're the seasoned one. I'm gonna let you roll it out. Seniority.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I consider myself a money expert. Okay.
Do you?
And I have some friends that just got married, and as I'm sitting there as a groomsman, looking smooth, feeling all right, thinking to myself about their young love. They wrote these beautiful vows together, and they're on their way to immense success as a married couple and in life. And I'm like, you know what? They're going to have to start having some serious conversations about money.
Serious conversation.
And given that we've covered so many bases on this podcast. We've already done a show about money conversations with Bay. So start with that one. And this is kind of like the continuation of that, like the advice for like new love.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you can start to get your financial footing together as a couple, and ways that you can go about coming up with some strategies for how to make it work, but also some ways to have the conversation?
Well, first things first, it sounds like they're off to a good start because they wrote their own vows. Alan, did you write your own vows? Did you and your wife write your own vows?
Absolutely not.
I mean, the standard. I just knew you were going to say absolutely.
I actually wanted to. I thought it would have been super sweet, but I was like, yo, what if I say something messed up? Like, I'm nervous.
Oh, my
like,
God.
I was like, well, it's too much pressure. Like,
now you got a whole podcast and you say all types of foolish stuff all the time. But on your one day, your moment, your opportunity to declare your love, you did not write your own vows? First of all, have I?
You've been married. What do you mean, have I? Proudly talk about being divorced all the time.
Right.
Did you write your own vows?
That's because I didn't write my own vows. That's because not only did I not write my own vows, I had them take some stuff out. So,
All right, hold on. You took out Richard Tapor?
No, I did not, actually. But, you know, like, for people who haven't been married, here's a cheat code. Like, if you got the proper minister or whoever, clergy, or just Google, there's options. Like, there's 4 or 5 standard vows you can choose from. You know, the ones with the First Corinthians and all types of stuff. And so I picked the one that sounded good, but some of the things just felt a little too committal. Okay. So we took out like 2 lines.
Do you remember the lines?
Why would I remember them? Absolutely. But no, it was super strong, like forever and always.
Yeah,
and
like even
you can't take out, you can't take out till death do us part, I don't think. But there were parts that I took out and I just said, you know, don't say them, you know, because they say them and you repeat it. And I was like, just don't say that. So hence why it wasn't successful. Yeah,
that's warning sign number one. You're taking stuff out the Bible, my guy. Like...
But either way, you recently attended a wedding that you were very excited about. If you guys follow Alan Boomer.
I didn't just attend the wedding.
Yes.
I was the wedding.
No, literally. And that's what I was going to say. If you follow Alan Boomer on social media, you have to see these photos because it's clear that Alan Boomer was feeling himself immensely as the oldest groomsman in the wedding party. But you couldn't tell him.
I was OG.
He was like feeling himself. And you can see it in the photos. I've never seen Alan with such a stance and a glare before.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
all right, so let's get into it. So we got a bunch of stats on couples and money. These are like different stats, not the type that we typically give, but very good stats.
Yeah. So first of all, over the past 2 decades, Americans are moving in together at higher rates.
Mm-hmm.
Like significantly higher than back in the day. Like back in the 90s.
At least like amongst our podcast hosts, he said they're moving it. Never mind. Go ahead.
Listen, okay, back in the 90s, people were less likely to move in before they got married. But nowadays, it's kind of up there. And here's the thing, because clearly, I have to speak from my own experience. You're correct, okay? Americans are moving in together at higher rates.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yes, everybody knows, you guys know I've moved to DC. I am in a relationship. I am living with my boyfriend now. This is happening.
He's getting the milk for free.
Not the milk for free. First of all, both of us don't drink milk. Okay. Because it's not good for you. So getting the milk for free. Thank you very much. Okay. Maybe I'm getting the milk for free. Oh, what about that? But yes, we did move in together quickly. And we actually made the decision even quicker. Like the actual move-in took months of planning and things of that nature, but we decided fairly early on to move in with each other. I think that skews differently because we're both older. I think when you're older, you kind of know what you want and what you don't want. And I think we were pretty clear very early, that we were what each other wanted. I think just like everybody's a lot more clear nowadays. I think back in the 90s, I don't know, but I think I'm super clear and he's super clear. And so that's why we made the decision. And then also things are expensive. Living is expensive out here. If you're going to be in somebody's house all the time, we've talked about this on a previous podcast episode. If you're going to be over my house using all my soap and eating all my food, you might as well split these bills. So I think it's romantic.
Mom said we ain't getting no younger. We might as well do this.
Meet me at the altar. That's not what I'm saying. Actually, what I am saying is that new relationships are more financially savvy. Okay, because they are cutting expenses faster by combining expenses.
Okay, so let's talk about these next two stats then.
Okay, well,
Ricky romance.
Okay, the other stat is a walk down the aisle can be a route to greater wealth and prosperity for couples in the United States. So married people have higher net worths and are more likely to be homeowners than their unmarried counterparts are. I feel like this is like Captain Obvious. Two incomes is always going to be better than one.
Yeah, but we're not talking about incomes, my guy. We're talking about wealth.
But you need income. Unless you are receiving an inheritance, you need income to create wealth. You know, it's not the only factor in the formula, but it's helpful for sure. And so having a higher net worth, being more likely to be homeowners, I think that's just because you are moving into a phase of wanting to create your future. When you're single, I don't think it's as pressing to be super, super focused on wealth or to have a home, especially if you're young and single. But as you get older, you're in the next step of your life, you find someone you love. Yeah, let's do this. That is the notion of getting married, I hope. Let's do this. Let's start to build our future. Let's make responsible decisions. Let's buy a home. Let's create a home for ourselves. Now, married couples also hold 4 times as much wealth as unmarried partners who live together. First of all, the source is proposing
for now on. I'm like, look, how about we come together and build wealth together, girl?
A lot of chicks would go with that. Here's the thing. I don't even like the source on this stat. I don't even know if I trust the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Okay.
Oh, that's the leading authority on relationships.
But they are the one putting out this stat. Ironically, my boyfriend is originally from St. Louis. They are the one putting out this stat that married couples hold 4 times as much wealth as unmarried partners who live together.
You see how you're ruining even your think, net worth right
I
now?
First, I'm not ruining my net worth. First of all, I think that this is skewed, right? Because if you're unmarried and you've been living together for the last 8 years, y'all ain't going nowhere. Like y'all aren't responsible.
First of all, y'all renting furniture.
Somebody's not honest about their income. Honest about their bills. If y'all are living together for 8 years or so and y'all aren't married, building wealth together. That's not the goal. The goal is a habitation. That's it. So I think
y'all huge. Sexy roommates.
Exactly. Y'all are the sexiest roommates ever. But y'all aren't focused on building wealth. But I feel like if you've been living together for like a short period of time before you get married, so maybe like, I think 2 years and under, 3 years and under, because I'm not rushing any of y'all. For any of our young podcast listeners, slow down. Do not rush into getting married. But if you've been living together for 3 years or less and you're unmarried, I think, you're probably not as focused on building wealth because you're more focused on like, coming together, building the relationship, understanding each other's habits, like feeling this thing out, making sure it fits.
Who left the toothpaste cap off for the last 3 weeks?
Who would leave the toothpaste cap off? Like, why wouldn't you put this?
Sometimes you lose the toothpaste cap.
I know people like different people. No one. What is in your bathroom that you cannot find the toothpaste cap? I know that like couples that squeeze from different places.
I'm telling you, in the wind.
Close the windows in your bathroom. And
in my bathroom right now, I have multiple toothpaste open at the same time, missing caps.
See, and this is how you know you're with the right partner because that's insane.
Oh, it's in my secret bathroom though. So
it's in your secret bathroom.
No one
bathroom.
Knows about this.
Yeah, this is kind of ridiculous.
Let's move on. Read the next two.
So married couples hold 4 times as much wealth as unmarried partners who live together. I think there's some caveats that need to be put on that. Once you are married, your focus changes. And you are literally locked in on, all right, let's do this. Let's do this together. Let's build. Are we starting a family? What type of life do we want to have together? And so you do get refocused versus when you're living together. Honestly, like that's just, you know, you're trying to have a good time, eat good, have a lot of sex, you know, watch some movies, Netflix and chill. You're just trying to build that synergy. I'm sorry.
Are we not? There's kids listening.
There are kids listening.
So the reason why that married couples tend to do better is that the couples are more likely to combine their finances, but also work together to achieve financial goals, leading to greater wealth and also relationship satisfaction.
Right. Because being broke is not good for your relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a fact. But let me say
Hair
this.
Long, and money long, me and being broke don't get along.
I will say this, though, and I think this probably applies to all of our married couples, and I will co-sign this, even though I don't consider myself, like, I know I did a thing before, but I feel like a lot of marriages have a period. Relationships in general, you have a period where, like, you scratching and surviving. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not always, oh, we got together and we started building wealth immediately. Right. And so I agree that being broke is not good for relationships, but I think getting through your financial trials together so that you can focus on achieving your financial goals, I think that's pretty common. And I think that does build relationship satisfaction in knowing that we did this together, we got through it together, and now we're moving on up. So, additional stats, 43% of couples say they have only joint bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't subscribe to that. We've talked about that. If y'all know anything about me, I don't subscribe to only joint bank accounts. Primarily,
so you're
because
in the 57%.
I am in the 57% because I don't want to be putting it on my own Christmas gift. If we have joint bank accounts, all of the gifts that we get each other are coming from our joint bank account, which means I've paid for a portion of my gifts and you pay for a portion of yours. I don't like that. 34% of couples.
Y'all could create a side hustle account. But go on.
That would require separate bank accounts. Mm. Plus, if you see the transaction come out, now the gift isn't a surprise. Mm. I need the element of surprise in my relationship.
Stop looking so much.
Then you're not listening to the Momentum Advisors podcast. Because all we say is look at your statement. So we said 43% of couples only have joint bank accounts. 34% of couples have a mix. So they have joint and separate accounts. I would like to be a part of that mix. But 23% said they keep their finances entirely separate. I have been a part of that mix as well. So moving forward, I'd like to be a part of the 34%. I am a part of the 34%. Like, we have a joint account. But back in the day, me and my ex-husband, we kept our finances completely separate. And that was my ask.
Mm. And so this next stat makes sense. It says that couples who share money, whether it be through a mix of joint and separate accounts or all joint accounts, have greater relationship satisfaction. Not only do they have access to larger pools of assets, they also have a greater feeling of accountability since each half of the couple can observe the other's spending habits a bit more closely. Accountability. Mm. Okay.
That sounds like being nosy. Observe the other's spending habits more closely. That sounds like an investigation. So because I can investigate your spending, we're in a closer relationship. I don't know.
But
here's
another thing. There's another study that says that when there's a joint bank account, the spending that happens to be taking place in the joint bank account, it's more like useful stuff and not splurging stuff, because you know that Joker's looking at the account.
So, exactly. So now you're under pressure. You're not living the life you want to live. This is my problem. Like, you work hard. You work hard, and now you out here hiding Amazon purchases. You know what I mean? Like, you're not buying the things that you want to buy. Or you're going to the ATM, taking out cash, buying things in cash, because you don't want him to know that, like, you spend $45 on lotion.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know how expensive your shampoo is. He doesn't know how much it costs every time you go to the hairdresser. And so now you're out here sending anonymous cash apps or, again, taking large amounts of money out of the bank because you feel like you're being watched more closely.
Okay, so clearly we've hit a nerve. let's go ahead and go to break. We're having some conversations for the new love out there. How do you get these money conversations going? What are some techniques for starting to put your money together because you want to build wealth as a couple?
Okay, stick with this. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
safe on the roads with Rain-X Vision Beam Wiper Blades. Now at Menards. For over 40 years, Rain-X has provided drivers with products to outsmart the elements. Their Vision Beam Wiper Blades are easy to install and are designed to provide a smooth, streak-free wipe every time. Save big money on all Rain-X products now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Momentum.
So we are back.
Yes.
We are talking about money conversations with your new love. And honestly, if some of these conversations we start to go through are new to you, but you've been in love with this person, y'all been together for 30 years, I'm concerned. But yeah, these are money conversations that you should have as your love starts to blossom, as you start to get more serious and you're looking at that person and you're just thinking like, I don't want to do life without you, babe. Let the world tell it. Next thing you got to do is go get a joint bank account.
So let's just make that presumption that, all right, you're trying on a joint bank account. Like, what's one way to attack it? And this, let's just assume it's Tiffany's technique. There's a joint account.
Yes.
There's also a separate account.
Okay. Yes.
By the way, this next technique can work even if you're in the 23% that are completely separate and you're devoid of relationship satisfaction. This will work. For y'all too.
First of all, to our people who keep their bank accounts separate, I'm sure you're actually happier, okay? Than the because you're spending.
One
you're doing whatever
happier.
You want to do. You're doing whatever you want to do. So the first thing you could implement is a spending cap. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that may sound scary. I know when I heard it for the first time, it caused me to shudder a little bit. But it has seemed to work for couples in just minimizing arguments, discord, streamlining money conversations, and kind of maintaining a sense of autonomy in household finances. And so what is recommended is, again, once you start to potentially combine some of your finances, you agree to check in with each other before either person would spend more than a certain dollar amount. So maybe it's, you know, before I spend over $500, or before I spend over $1,000, 50? See?
Yeah. I need to authorize that.
Authorize it. The fact that the term you just used is authorize.
Right. Make it $40 then. Okay.
Nobody's about to authorize me to spend my own money. I am saying it's not an authorize, right? Because that is how your relationship ends. Okay. But it's a check-in. I'm going to check in with my partner when I need to or decide to or want to spend more than a certain number out of our joint bank account.
Or in general, it could be on your own. Like a,
what?
Like, it could be without a joint bank account.
Law are you living under?
Okay. I'm just saying.
So if I have my own bank, what you're saying is if I have my own bank account and I am deciding to spend over a certain dollar amount, I need to check in with my partner on my own bank account?
It could be. It could be, yes. Come up with a high enough,
too much.
A high enough level. Okay.
And what I'm supposed to say? Hey, hey, babe. I'm gonna go ahead and spend this much of my own money today. You cool with that? You sounded stupid just hearing it.
No, just listen. All right.
Go ahead. You tell me how it goes. No, role play it.
I don't have spending caps in my life or anything like that. But I'm saying, like, it's the threshold of let's talk about this money decision.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily authorization that I need this approved by you. It's like, hey, if I'm about to spend more than, let's say, $1,000, maybe I should talk to my significant other about it.
Or that's maybe all. I got it. And that's that. Yeah, no, I don't agree with this if you have separate bank accounts, but I do agree. If you have joint bank accounts, I think a spending cap is suitable as long as it doesn't feel oppressive. And what I mean by that is like different people, each person makes a different income in the relationship, right? And so if one person makes significantly less, I don't think it would be fair for like the spending cap to be damn near predatory. Like, well, since you don't make as much money, you can't spend over $100, but I can spend over $1,000, like without saying something. I think it needs to be super, super fair. I don't think it should be based on income or contribution, to be honest with you. Even if one person contributes more to the joint bank account than the other, I think it should be a fair number. But I do think it's worth having the conversation. And honestly, not because of authority, like Alan used the term that he used, but I think it honestly just...
$40.
It bodes for healthy conversation around your financial decisions.
Your caps. Okay.
No. Okay. So, all right, Alan, if you had to put a cap, I mean, we know you balling and everything, but if you had to put a cap, a spending cap on your accounts, what would it be? And again, not to say no, but like, all right, we need to talk about this. What dollar amount, what transaction amount would you have to see in your bank statement to be like, whoa, 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 I didn't know about this?
Yeah, so my wife and I tend to talk about, it's less about the dollar amounts, more about like the things. So for example, like we spend a lot of money on plays and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And like, if there's a play ticket that's more than, or a concert, that's probably more than like $500. We just be like, yo, you sure you want to go to this? You know, versus if it's like gifts for the kids, maybe that's a higher threshold for that type of thing. So we don't have necessarily a cap, but it's more like, hey, before we spend over these certain amounts, let's just make sure we really want this thing.
Okay.
And so for entertainment, let's say it's $500. For the kids, probably higher. It's probably like...
All right. So we talked about this couple, this wedding that you were recently in. If you were giving mm-hmm. them advice on a spending cap, what number would you give them?
I would probably say they're a younger couple. I would probably say...
I say this because I saw the pictures at the wedding. It was a lot of money being thrown around. That was a ballin' wedding. So you can't put them on the $40 spending cap.
Yeah, I would probably say $1,000 is a good level. Somewhere between $500 and $1,000 is probably a good level to put a cap. And again, the spending cap is just a conversation starter. It, you know, just to create some mutual accountability is all.
Yeah. I think it also really helps because, you know, once you are together, you do want to start working on your financial goals. You want to start aligning on what's important to you guys. What are you trying to accomplish? Whether that's a specific dollar amount, savings, working towards buying a home, working towards paying down debt. And so you don't want to get derailed and be surprised by that. And so having conversations about these larger transactions, one, just kind of allows you to recheck in. Somebody might need to help you refocus, like, hey, babe, we don't really need that right now. Like, that doesn't align with what we've been talking about. So I'm glad we talked about it, but let's see if we can put it off. Or again, you just both decide like, yeah, we really do want to do this, or I do get that. Let's do that. And however it impacts or potentially delays our financial goals, we're okay with that, but we're working together and we're aligned.
Yeah. And also you could change the cap. Like if you become parents, for example, maybe.
Or daily. You can change it daily.
I'm sorry. Change what to daily?
You could change the cap daily. Like on Fridays, I needed to be higher than I do on Tuesdays. I'm not about to do anything on Tuesdays, but on Fridays, you know what I mean? I might hit the streets. So we have a Friday spending cap versus a Tuesday spending cap.
Oh my God. So you really don't want any kind of cap. You don't want any accountability.
A July spending cap, because that's my birthday.
Versus, oh my God.
No, versus a February spending cap. It's cold outside. I'm not about to go nowhere.
Whatever, whatever. But then, so we also read about a couple who uses this in their marital life, but sometimes they got to surprise one another and go above the cap. And
there we go.
It's okay. I don't want to ruin a surprise. I had to spend $1,100, even though my cap is a G. You're going to have to just forgive me because I did it out of love every now and then.
Or you just have a separate bank account.
Especially if that surprise is for yourself.
Then it's not surprise. When we're talking about implementing this spending cap, like how do you do it, right? Does one person just walk in the room one day and say, listen, it's $500. Anything over $500 moving forward, you got to ask me about? No, that's how you start an argument. But what you want to do, you want to start by reviewing your existing household budget. And you might not even have a household budget just yet. So honestly, that's probably the first conversation. You both need to sit down and look at how much it costs to keep your household going. And we're talking about food, bills, rent or mortgage, like all the things that you guys pay together, you do need to have that conversation. Understand what that number is. Then you also probably need to have the conversation with how much it costs for you to live outside of those expenses. And so again, like nails done, hair done, man, oh, y'all.
I got a
like
question for you. Question
to Home Depot, Best Buy, like how much are all of those things?
Yeah, and the purpose of doing this is to come up with your cap that works for you guys, you know.
Yeah.
But I got to ask you a question, Tiffany. You just moved in with your boo.
I did.
Have y'all reviewed each other's bank statements yet?
Bank statements? That's not what I just said. That is not what I just said. I said work on a household budget. Understand?
Which involves breaking
your
out your bank statements.
Whole budget. That does not involve
okay.
that.
So
at
let
all.
Me give you a technique. This is a technique for how you can get this thing started, Tiffany.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Sounds like a technique for how you can also get robbed.
By the way, like, all right, this is a real question. Since we doing it, we here.
Right.
You just moved in with your dude. Do y'all know how much money each other makes? Silence. Okay. So then y'all can't even begin to talk about spending.
That's not
y'all-
true. That's not true, because you don't need to know how much money I make to know how much we're spending. I'm spending it. I got it. Like, you don't need to know that number. Now, let me just put this out there right now. I'm not ashamed. I don't have an issue sharing the number, but like, we just haven't gotten there. Mm. And you don't need to know how much I make in order to know how much I spend.
I'm saying if you're living together with someone, I think it would be probably a fitting time to ask that kind of question.
Totally. It totally is. Okay. All I'm saying is that's not what we just said. We just said work on understanding your household budget number. And yes, that is a conversation that we had before we moved in with each other.
Okay, fine. So look, here is how you can go about getting to that point where you're starting to have these conversations. How about if y'all throw each other a money date?
Oh, like y'all throw money at each other.
No, man, no. A money date. Is like, so
Africans call it spraying.
Oh, whatever.
You're just, okay, I like this.
You got to realize that a lot of people have money trauma, right? They bring that into their relationships. And so it might not be such a like good occasion to say, hey, let's sit down and you bring your bank statement. I bring mine.
Why do you keep bringing up bank statements? That's, listen, y'all, don't listen to Alan. There are several steps that have to happen before y'all open each other's bank statements.
Okay. But what about if you do a money date, which is a mix of romance and finance? And so the idea is to really take something that you love looking forward to, a date, whether it be your favorite restaurant.
You want to do this in public?
I'm saying it gives you a chance to combine these two things. You got one that you're excited about and one that you're clearly bemoaning.
It's not, but listen, this needs to be
break
a home
out
date.
Your bank statement.
This needs to be home date. First of all, I'm not bringing these documents out at a restaurant and laying them out on a table, first of all. Second of all, like, what if I've been drinking? Like, I need to be of sound mind to have this conversation. This is a home date, y'all. Like, this is one of those, so order some food in, light some candles.
Nobody's looking forward to that.
That's how you know you've been married too long. I'm very much so looking forward to that, okay? Light some candles, order some food, get comfortable, play some music. Play some good music. I'll have this conversation under those circumstances.
Right,
but you're not
this?
About to have me out at a restaurant. It's people around. Hey, listen, you don't listen
out.
To other people's
Why
conversations.
So stressed out. All right, here's the deal. How about
giving bad
this
advice.
This is how I would plan the money date, okay? All right. Put on your red dress. And step in those high heels.
Alan, you've been out at a restaurant.
Sweet perfume.
You've been out at a restaurant, and all you're doing is ear hustling on the person next to you.
This is
this is private information. And to your point, a lot of people do have money trauma. A lot of people are vulnerable around the conversations about money. And so you don't want to put them in a public atmosphere where they feel like all their business is in the street.
It sure looks good on you. I'm describing my money date. Okay. You do yours at home with some microwave
candles,
dinners.
Nope. And you order some food and you have some good music. That's a sexy money date. I want to have that money date.
Well, my money date is at a fancy steakhouse.
I don't want to be at the money
table. Okay.
Oh, now you got a private table.
Like pushed off to the side. Like I want to be in a secluded part of the restaurant.
It's loud. So y'all can't even hear each other. So now y'all have to scream over the music to share your information.
We're discussing things, but we're celebrating at the same time. I'm putting together some pleasure and some pain.
Okay.
Okay. I'm mixing my romance and my finance. Okay.
Yeah. We but are being serious. Really,
it's
about
creating a chance
money
to
date.
Get excited. It's a chance to get excited.
Okay. Quick question,
to
Alan.
Talk about money.
Is it? Does the other person know it's a money date, or you just?
Yeah, you got
to
tell them.
To the dinner,
bring the money date on them,
and then be like,
"I'm gonna take you to
talk about your taxes."
I would get a Dave Chappelle and just talk over him the whole time. Hey, so exactly how much money did you spend last week?
Yeah, no, you have to prep for this. And honestly, I like the idea of a money date. And honestly, I do think it's something that you should probably have regularly, if I'm being honest. Like, you want to check in with each other consistently, mm-hmm. whether it's around your goals, whether you've had some changes, maybe your income has changed, maybe your spending has changed, maybe you have new expenses. You've decided to get a trainer, you've decided to go to therapy, a variety of things. So you do want to have this money date regularly. I just don't think it needs to be happening out in public. Maybe you do a picnic, right? Maybe you do a picnic. I think that's sweet. Get outdoors. Maybe you do, like, you have some sort of outdoor date where you're walking or hiking. I think it's a great space, a peaceful space to do something like that. But, like, again, don't take me to the club ordering bottles and talking about it's a money date. Like, let's talk about your finances. Let's talk about our finances. But I do think it's something that needs to be implemented into relationships. And to Alan's point, it can be a pleasurable experience. You know,
and maybe, like, do it once a month.
Alan, when's the last?
Why is it so stressful for you? Like, why are you so afraid to?
I'm not
bring
afraid.
Out your bank account.
I'm not afraid.
Okay.
Stop saying bank statements. So, I'm not afraid. Like I said, like, your way of doing it to me is not a good time. I don't want to be out in public putting all my information out there for anybody to hear. And I want to be able that we're locked in and focused on each other. I don't want the moment that I go ahead and talk about my debt and, you know, income, they're like, oh, here's your margarita. Like, yo, like, not the right time. So I think a money date should happen at home. But you're out here giving all this advice and information. Keep it a buck. When's the last time you had a money date? Answer the question.
So you got, first of all, let me explain something. Okay. So my wife and I have joint bank accounts, and my wife doesn't work and hasn't worked for 20 years. So
telling y'all to go out into these streets and put your business in the streets, and he won't even tell you the last time he's had a money date.
Yeah. So she pretty much runs all the money stuff in our house. And
so she should book the money date.
If we're coming up short, then I get the phone call. Hey, we need some more money in the account. And then I get the hustling a little harder.
Ain't no money dates is all Alan's saying. He's out here telling you what to do. Talk about put on your red dress. He ain't never told his wife to put a red dress on because Alan's not having money dates. So slow it down. Pull out. Yeah, it's different. But yeah, I like the money date situation. And I think it's something that should be implemented into your new budding love in your relationships. So we have more advice to give for new relationships who want to be financially sound, who want to make sure they get this financial part right so they can grow and blossom into something bigger and forever. So stick with this. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
And we are still talking about money conversations with your new love,
mm-hmm.
your new boo. You know what? Because, you know, I'm in the spirit. You know, I'm in the spirit. I'm feeling the love. I got all the tingling feelings. Go to our Twitter. I'm sorry. Whatever y'all call it. I'm not calling it that. So go to X Twitter. Old Twitter.
Okay.
And hit us up at Momentum Advice and show us a picture of you and your new boo.
On a money date?
No, not on a money date. Make it official. So we want to see pictures of you and your new love. I'm going to tell you right now, Alan and I, what we're going to do for real, we're going to assess if we think it's going to work. We're going to assess if we're going to think y'all going to make it.
Oh, they post their picture and we tell them if they're...
No, we're not going to tell them. No, we're not going to tell them. I'm saying, like, we're going to be like, oh my God, they're so cute. They're so great. I don't know, y'all. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He don't...
That's funny.
He don't look like he the one for her.
Yeah.
But no. In all seriousness, I am very much in love. And so we would love to see, as we're having this conversation, go to @MomentumAdvice and send us a picture of you and your new boo. We're not going to do anything with it. I promise.
Old boo.
You.
Or your old boo.
Or your old boo. As long as that's still your boo. Don't send multiple pictures of you with multiple people. No, we don't, that's not financially sound. So that's not any, but again, we're not going to do anything with the information. We're not going to post it anywhere. We're not going to like repost it or say anything crazy, but listen, share. Okay. Yeah. We are about finance and love around here. We just talked about spending caps. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about the money date.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Alan is correct. Like the reason why the money date is a good idea, it's kind of something, it's something called temptation bundling. Right. And so it's combining maybe something that may be difficult or hard to do or not as upbeat. It's not the thing you're really looking forward to. Well, something that you are looking forward to, which is spending time mm-hmm. with your person, which is doing something that you want to do, whether it is, you know, going out, even though I don't recommend that one. But, you know, maybe it's something that you want to do, something that you guys have been talking about. Like, we really want to go to a baseball game, or we really want to go, you know, to this new museum. And so combining the fact that, listen, we're going to do that, but we're also going to take care of our business a little bit too at the same time. And let's do some temptation bundling. Let's bundle mm-hmm. up things that we might not be so excited about with things that we are excited about, so that it tempts us to really want to do it and want to do it consistently.
Yeah. And I know it might be counterintuitive. Like, wait a minute, I got to spend money to talk about money,
right?
But it could be a way of getting y'all excited about these conversations that might otherwise feel difficult.
And all dates don't have to cost a lot of money. Y'all can go get some ice cream. Again, y'all can go mm-hmm. for a picnic. So yeah, don't put yourself into a bad situation by trying to talk about money. But
yeah, by the way, take me on a cheap money date and you're getting cheap answers. Okay?
Oh, you ain't, you're so trifling. Okay. Yeah.
So I'll give you some topics for money dates. One topic could be a pitch meeting. Okay, I've got something I want to do, and I want
to
see.
I got to pitch it to you. Your relationship ain't solid. Your relationship
no,
ain't
okay,
solid.
But hold on. It could be an investment opportunity, right? It could be a charity thing I want to fund, and I want to make sure you're good with it, right? It could be just pitching an idea that y'all haven't talked about. I had a little money date with a couple just this week. Like, they wanted to link up and just talk about franchising. It wasn't really much of a date. But they came
about
together.
I to say, Alan, what are you a part of?
Yeah, no, I'm at a conference. I was at a conference this week.
Okay.
And I was talking to the wife about franchising. She's like, you know what, let me go get my husband. And she got her husband. And they're like, let's go ahead and sit down and grab some food while we sit down and talk about this thing together.
Temptation bundling. But you were the
saying?
Temptation.
So another topic is roles and responsibilities, right?
I like
that could
this.
Be the topic of a money date, because we believe some couples are set up where one person is in charge of the money. It doesn't have to be the man. Often I think it's best if it's the woman.
Facts.
But maybe you decide, okay, I'm going to be the CFO in the relationship, the chief financial officer. And maybe somebody else is going to be the chief operating officer, the one who's kind of planning out the stuff, who's strategizing, who's making sure that things happen, making sure the bills get paid, et cetera. So figuring out how to divide the labor could be a great money date.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Like, one thing that I do hope that people understand in relationships is, like, this notion of 50-50 is trash, right? Like, I don't think relationships are 50-50. I think they are whatever they need to be for y'all to be good. And so if one person is really good with the money, or one person is more responsible, then they should have the primary responsibility of that thing. They're not great at everything. There are other things that they're not good at that you are better at, or that you're more capable of doing. And so you should do that thing. I think everybody should operate in their strengths. in relationships. Mm-hmm. And so trying to set yourselves up, like, I'm gonna pay half the bills and you're gonna pay half the bills. Like, for what? Like, if one person is really good at it and consistently does it, then let that person do that thing and let the other person do something that they're really great at. But I do agree, like, assigning roles, and you mentioned this earlier, things can change, right? Like, maybe as one person has more responsibility at work or makes more money or, you know, just matures, they decide, like, yeah, I want to be a little bit more involved in this than I have been in the past. Let's switch things up a little bit. Or I want to make things easier on you. I know you got a lot on your plate. And after watching you do this for however long, I can handle it. I got it. So mm-hmm. I think having this conversation around roles is super important. And don't feel like you're stuck or stagnant. You know, maybe it changes in time. And that's why you have to continue to have money dates.
Yeah. And another topic at the money date could be, okay, I'm the COO. Here's what I've got on the agenda. What do you have on agenda as a CFO in the relationship?
Yeah. I like that. So, well, what if you're both? What if you're the CFO and the COO? Do you have a date with yourself? Do you have a date with yourself and then just share the meeting notes out?
Yeah, you got to share. You got to have these conversations. We're giving you some different ways to do it and to just make it more interesting.
Yeah, I guess what I mean by that, and I was making a joke, but I'm also being serious. We do have couples who say, like, listen, I don't want to have anything to do with money. She runs the household. She runs the bills. That's not what I do. You know, like, I just go to work on my business. I take care of things around the house. I don't have anything to do with that. Even in those dynamics, though, I do think it's important to have a money date so that person is just aware. So even if you're just sharing out, like, listen, these were our bills this month. These are our expenses this month. This is just what happened, a snapshot of what happened. You know, we're still saving the way we want to save, or, like, we're good and we don't have any issues, or we're preparing for a vacation or things like that. I do think it's important that the partner just know what's going on, even if they are not actively participating in the execution of the finances.
Okay, Tiffany, I know we're wrapping up, but I'll go on a money date with my wife.
Please do.
Will you go on a money date with your boo?
Okay. All right, now. If we're doing this, you got to take a picture. We're going to post it. We're each going to post our money date.
Okay.
And Alan, if your wife don't have on a red dress, I'm coming for you. But we're each going to have a money date. We're going to post a picture from our money date.
And let's talk about what we talked about.
Yes. And we're going to rate it. First, you have to rate it. So you got to give it a score out of 10. And then we're going to talk about how it went.
Fine.
Oh, this is going to be good. I'm about to kill my money date. Okay. All right. This is going to be good. I think that is how we should end today's show.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should end it. So when are we, do we have a deadline?
It's got to be by December 15th.
By December 15th. Money date by December. Alan's trying to ruin Christmas. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Money date by December 15th. Okay. So with that said, I know earlier today I asked for you guys to send a picture of you and your boo. I'm scratching that. Go on a money date. I'm asking you to go on a money date with your boo and then send us that picture from your money date. Alan and I are going to post ours. You post yours. Again, we're not going to repost them or anything like that, but let's make it a movement. And so it's money date November or money date winter, whatever we're calling it. Go on your money date. Send us a picture, whether it's at Momentum Advice. If you are more private, you want to email it to us, whatever. Slide in
Instagram.
Our DMs.
That's
you follow us on one. Instagram, so send it to us in our DMs, and we are going to publicly post our money dates.
Thanks.
All right. Well, hopefully you learned something. Hopefully you're going to implement some things into your relationship. Hopefully you've learned some statistics about the value of being in a relationship and wealth building. That doesn't mean you need to stay with that person. You don't got to stay with him just because it's an opportunity for you to build more wealth. But if you really are in love and things are moving forward, these are the conversations and some of the tactics that you want to start to implement so that it grows and that you guys grow financially and you grow in your relationship.
I love it.
All righty. So we will be back next week. Schedule your money dates. We cannot wait to see your photos. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
$40 max. I'm Alan Boomer.
It's going to be the end of your relationship if you put a $40 max. But I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. Show. Yeah. Show. Show.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.